You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Welcome to another installment of Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm Gary Bauer, and I'm really glad that you're joining with us today. You know, usually I talk to you about some event in Washington, some big battle in the United States Congress, or something happening at the White House or whatever. This show is going to be a little bit different. And I would say, and as you all know, I'm kind of a guy that's been sentenced for whatever reason by God to do my work in Washington, D.C., but I actually believe, I think most of us do, that the big battles happening in America are really being fought out in the culture. And for way too long, Christians have been pushed out of the culture. Well, the other day, my wife Carol and I went to see a movie that a number of people we respect have recommended to us. And, you know, I haven't gone to a lot of movies since COVID. We tend to wait until things are on TV or whatever. But we went to this movie, A Great Awakening. And my friends, I'm actually having a little bit of a hard time this morning coming up with the right words. It was simply incredible. Carol and I are not particularly emotional people, but both of us found ourselves near tears a number of times. And let me just tell you one more reason why I think this movie is so important. It's the 250th anniversary of America, and half the country doesn't know the actual facts about the American founding. We're literally teaching our children that Christianity had nothing to do with the founding. In fact, in some textbooks, we say that the purpose of the American Revolution and the reason people came to America was to get away from religion. I mean, you talk about lying. That's just a bald-faced lie. This movie, A Great Awakening, tells the story of the American Revolution and the role of Christianity in it, but it does it through the story of George Whitefield, a great evangelist, that the relationship that he had with one of our founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin. And it is gripping. It's emotional. As a Christian, I'm telling you, you will be deeply moved. But even more than that, in some ways, I believe you can take a non-Christian to the movie with you, and it won't turn them off. In fact, it not only will teach them some American history, it's a great way to introduce them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we are very fortunate this morning because we have as our guests the producer and director of the movie, Joshua Enck. Joshua, welcome to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. And let me begin our conversation by saying one of the things that I was thinking about when I saw the movie is how I wish that Dr. James Dobson was still walking the earth with us, because Joshua, he would have loved this movie. I'm assuming over the years you met Dr. Dobson. I know your in-laws were very close to him, but how do you think Dr. Dobson would have reacted to this movie?
Well, Gary, thank you so much for having me on your program. It is truly an honor. I was so looking forward to this conversation with you. Thank you. And thank you to all those who are watching, who are listening. I had the great privilege of meeting Dr. Dobson outside of our small theater here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, called Living Waters, many years ago. And his presence was just so warm and had such authority. And I had like an immediate respect for him and all that he has done for the kingdom. And so to be connected with his program now, with his ministry today with you, Gary, is an absolute honor. I knew how he reacted over our shows. I saw that firsthand. And I think with this film being about the only kind of liberty that can come through Jesus Christ and the birth of our nation and the foundation of our nation and the revelation that came before the revolution, I can only imagine that he would be on cloud nine right now, excited for the impact of this of this film.
Yeah, I agree. Joshua, I want to spend as much time as we can on the film itself, but you've got a great story from how you began. And so can you, rather than we read a dry intro bio, tell our listeners and viewers how you came to Christ. And I think you started out with Sight and Sound as a stagehand, but share a little bit of that with us.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I was born in a very American, lower middle class, blue collar family. My dad was a founderman. My mom was a stay-at-home babysitter. And at the age of 12, mom and dad bought a VHS video camera for the family. And I picked it up and I never put it down. Mm. I made movies over the weekends with my buddies. Any project that I was given in high school, you know, I always chose to do a unique feature film and they would show it in front of the whole school. And so I felt alive when I told stories. I felt alive when I would connect with the hearts of people and make them move and move them toward an emotion. And so once I graduated, I thought, well, I guess only the lucky few get a chance to do this. You know, they go to New York and LA, and I grew up in an incredible home, a loving home, but it wasn't a Christian home. We went to church Christmas and Easter. And so I didn't have a lot of an understanding, you know, at all on the things of faith. But when I was isolated at the age of 18, 19 years old after high school, all my buddies had a plan and they went somewhere. I was working at a lumber yard and I got born again. Mm. Somebody came into my life that taught me and showed me the love of Jesus. And it was a light switch went off. I oftentimes would take walks before that and talk to God, but I never knew who Jesus was. In fact, Jesus Christ was a swear word in my circles. It wasn't a person. And so I got saved at the age of 19 years old. And the Lord put that spark back in me to be a storyteller. And so providentially, I won't get into the whole story, but providentially, this theater called Sight and Sound came to my attention through my mom, my late mom, and in 1995. And I came down here 30 minutes away from my home, and I walked into the theater, and it was the first year that they were doing Noah on stage. And I thought, wow, this is not the kind of theater that I was picturing, you know? And I started out as a stage technician, pushing sets around in the dark and finding God-fearing people, brothers and sisters who just watered that seed that was planted in me. And it was a quieter season. I actually demoted myself and went to the animal department to work in the barn because it had a better schedule than show schedule. And I found a mentor there, an older man who was an elder, that really just grew me spiritually and matured me. And this passion for storytelling just continued to grow. And my father-in-law discovered that in me. And he pulled me aside and started to give me opportunities to stretch those wings. And that was 6 stage productions later and 2 films later, and I'm still doing it and on fire for the Lord more than ever. And I can't thank my mom, who is not with us anymore, more. And I can't thank Glenn and Shirley Eshelman for believing in me. But most importantly, I can't thank them enough for giving me their beautiful, gorgeous daughter, who is my bride of 25 years, 26 years this September, and my 4 incredible children and son-in-law. So I'm a blessed man, Gary. I am a blessed man.
Well, my bride of over 50 years is from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So we have a connection here. You're obviously exactly where God wanted you to be, Joshua. So I know you love Jesus, and I know you're a patriot and love America. And so here we are coming up. We were coming up to the 250th anniversary or birth of our country. And my understanding is you were thinking about that and you wanted to do something creatively that would fit into that anniversary. And tell us a little bit about it, because I read somewhere that you began thinking maybe it would be a movie that would zero in on the father of our country, George Washington. But as God laid something else in your heart. So share that with us.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I was born in 1976, so I'm a bicentennial baby. So I was born to be a patriot, and I am. I love my country. I love the Lord more. And putting those two things together is quite an opportunity and blessing. I knew that we were coming up on our 250th anniversary. We were working on our second feature film, and I knew that it was about liberty. because the Lord gave me a dream. And in that dream, I was standing in our Lancaster theater and I saw the Liberty Bell, but it was huge. And it was swinging side to side over the seats of our theater. And I could hear its sound. It was beautiful. And I woke up and I knew that the Lord wanted Sight and Sound to proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof through a film. You know, to be set free from sin, the true definition of liberty. We're in our 250th anniversary, and a lot of people are going to be using that word differently. They have different definitions of it. And so we wanted to do a film that really centers in on exactly what liberty in Christ is. And so I thought, okay, liberty, George Washington, Revolutionary War. I was getting very excited about that, but I kept hitting roadblocks. And my wife was seeing that. And so she sent me away, just me and my dog, to an Airbnb outside of Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, which is not far from our house. And I was praying and seeking the Lord. And on the second day of that retreat, the Lord spoke to my heart so clearly, just as clearly as a bell ringing. He said, "You have liberty right. You have your Georges wrong." And I was thinking, well, what other George is there? And I remembered my writing partner, Jeff Bender. His favorite person in history, aside from the Bible heroes, is George Whitefield. And he and I talked about George Whitefield many times over the years. In fact, a year before that, I was in Oxford University with my daughter, who's taking classes there. And we went to Pembroke College, where George Whitefield met the Holy Club and where he was born again. And I called Jeff Bender from there. And I said, "Jeff, I'm standing in your hero's chapel." I said, "Would you pray?" And I put it on speakerphone, and he prayed for another great awakening to come to this land, America.
Wow.
A year later, the Lord put his George Whitefield's name on my heart, and the rest just wrote itself. He was so excited. I was so excited to write this. And when I found out that the Lord providentially put arguably the most powerful evangelist of all time, George Whitefield, into the path of Benjamin Franklin, the most celebrated deist of the founding fathers, if you will.
Yes.
He providentially put those two together to spark the most formative event in American history called the First Great Awakening. It was George Whitefield's trumpeting voice behind the pulpit and Ben Franklin's hand behind the printing press, printing all of his sermons and whereabouts, that sparked the great First Awakening from 1739 to 1770.
Joshua, the voice that Whitefield had, it's almost supernatural because there weren't any kinds of instruments, electronics to magnify a voice. We, you know, when we do a podcast or a radio show, we're worried about making sure the volume's okay. We're talking back in the 1740s and 50s and 60s. And Whitefield would talk to crowds, as you make so obvious and so emotionally gratifying in the movie, of tens of thousands of people. And they all said, even at the total back of the crowd, that they could hear him preach the word of the Lord.
Yeah, it's incredible. He had a supernatural speaking voice. He was truly a trumpet blast. People could hear him 2 miles away down the Delaware. In Philadelphia, a city of 20,000 residents, 30,000 people showed up and could hear him speak. And we know that because Ben Franklin could hear his voice as well and did a scientific experiment and measured how many people could hear his voice during that sermon in November of 1739 from the courthouse balcony. That scene's depicted in our film. Another scene is depicted in our film that really affirms his supernatural speaking voice is when George Whitefield was born again. He got kicked out of the Anglican churches because he was a little too theatrical, which I think is pretty cool. I like that, coming from a theater background. And he set up a traveling pulpit in the middle of a coal field in Bristol, England. This is a true story. And he started to preach the word of God in the spirit of liberty. And the anointing fell upon him, and his voice carried down into the earth. And Whitefield's own words in his journal, which we know exists because Ben Franklin printed them, he said, "Like black ants, they came up out of the earth and came to his pulpit. And he said, I knew the Holy Spirit took hold of them when I saw white gutters going down their black cheeks." That scene in our film is so powerful. And when we shot it, we actually experienced a move of God while we were shooting that scene, and we captured it in this film, a true move of God on people's hearts.
That, as we sat there watching, that scene was unbelievably gripping. I'm originally from Kentucky, and of course, Kentucky's a coal state. There's been a lot of improvements made, but back in the 18th century, people working in those coal mines, that was a death sentence. They were miserable people. And of course, child labor was allowed. So seeing those poor children and the women and the men all covered with this black soot, and they even in the scene, which is so dramatic, when he first shows up, they want nothing to do with him. In fact, there's an effort briefly to stone him.
Yes.
And so he delivers the scripture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ while he's bleeding from the stones that hit him.
Yes. And this film is really firing up and igniting the evangelists in our nation. We have heard from notable pastors all over the nation and influencers of how inspired they are. You know, there's a line in the film, it shows up three times. One tiny candle illuminates 1,000. And we are seeing candles being illuminated in the hearts of influencers and leaders like yourself, Gary, that just can't keep it quiet. And they are just creating an inferno of enthusiasm and excitement around preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ boldly, just like George Whitfield did. You know, from 1739 to 1770, 80% of the colonists heard George Whitfield's voice with their own ears. What if 80% of Americans would hear George Whitfield's voice again? What could happen? Because politics are downstream of culture. We know that.
Yes.
And the only way to invade culture is with truth and power. And we have a young generation of believers that are looking for authenticity. And the First Great Awakening, which is what this film is really about, is an authentic, bold move of God. And this next generation is looking at that and saying, can we have one of those too? Can we see that happen again on this land? And we're saying, why not? This film is ushering that spirit into this nation. It's not a movie, it's a movement. And we're very thankful and blessed to be a part of that.
You should be proud to be part of it, Joshua. It's incredible. You know, God has done this in our history at key existential moments. So this was a time whether the question of whether there would even be America was up for grabs. And what George Whitefield did in bringing the message of Christ to the colonies played a major role in the revolution happening. There was another great awakening in the years leading up to the Civil War, in which the country had to decide whether one man could own another man. And thank God, unfortunately, it took 700,000 people to die. The answer was, of course not, because we are all made in the image of God. Joshua, I think we're in one of those existential moments now about whether we're going to be one nation under God going forward in our future. If we're not, the American experiment is over. So you may very well be playing, and this movie may very well be playing a Whitfield-type role in this moment in America about whether we're going to rediscover our Christian roots or not.
I could not agree with you more, Gary. You know, a prophet's role, and we really believe that this film is prophetic. A prophet's role is to cry truth above the noise of culture, to cut through the noise all around us. And that's the kind of climate that we're in right now. And that's what this film is doing. It's cutting through all the noise, and it's uniting people. It's not divisive. It's uniting people. It's taking people from all different denominations and pulling them together. And that's what happened in the First Great Awakening. It was the colony's first shared experience, because they were very fragmented. But it was their first shared experience. They were experiencing the Holy Spirit together. They were experiencing a move of God together. And that's what I believe we are teed up to do again in this nation. Look, it's a jubilee year for our nation, the 250th. That Liberty Bell was a gift given to us on a jubilee year of William Penn's Charter of Liberties. And I believe that the Lord is doing something in the foundation of our DNA and our identity as a nation right now. And this film is resonating with politicians and pastors and influencers. It was great to hear Ted Cruz took his 91-year-old mother to see the film, and he said it was fabulous. And to hear of other, you know, key people in the nation who are experiencing this, what we want to do, Gary, and what our heart is here at Sight and Sound, this is not entertainment. Yes. This is not about the box office. This is about doing our role, being obedient to the voice of God and being a part of his big plan. Mm. The arts, storytelling, it's the method he used when he taught through parables for those 3.5 years. When we go from the head to the heart of man and we move them towards truth through the power of story, we start to see change. And so what I want, and if anybody who's listening to this right now, I beg of you, use this film as a banner. Use this film as an anthem. Use it, take it, show it to your congregations, show it to your communities, show it to your families. I say to the patriarchs of the family, the men of the family, do your role as a patriarch, be responsible, and teach your children the truths of our history here in this great country before we lose it. The sun, I believe, is still rising on this nation. I don't believe it's setting. And I think it's rising because the Son of God is rising in this nation.
The sun rising or setting is a great point, and it's one of the themes of the movie, because Benjamin Franklin at the Constitutional Convention saw a display of the sun behind the speaker's chair, and he pondered whether that sun was rising or falling. Yeah. And later, when the Constitutional Convention decided in their division that what they needed to do to be united was to turn back to God and pray again, he concluded that, in fact, the sun still was rising on the new American nation. You know, Joshua, I know you've been to Washington. If you just walk around Washington, D.C., etched into multiple buildings and statues and so forth are words from our founding fathers that are often words from the Bible. I mean, you would have to sandblast half the government buildings in Washington to erase the history of America's reliance on scripture and on God.
Yeah.
And some people may say, well, he's the producer and director. Of course he's going to like the movie. Well, I'm not the producer and director. And I've seen a lot of poor examples over my life of people that were well-meaning, but didn't have the skills and talents of their artistic craft to produce something as Christians that we could be proud of and we would want everyone to see. This movie does that. And I add my voice to yours. Please, folks, put some time on the schedule now before you get more busy with summer, et cetera. Go see this film. It's a life changer, and it could even be a nation changer if enough people see it.
Amen. You know, the definition of a generation in some biblical terms is 30 years. And from 1739 to 1770, the colonies were in a revival, and it was known as the First Great Awakening. So an entire generation of Americans, colonists at the time, came to this place of becoming a self-governing people. A people who were able to say, you know, our inalienable rights aren't a gift given to us by a king, but a right given to us by God. They didn't just wake up on July 4th and say that and decide to then declare independence. They were saturated in that culture and that truth, and they became a people that naturally and organically just believed that way. And so when they went into the revolution, they were a people who were just experiencing an entire generation, 3 decades of revivals through George Whitefield, through Jonathan Edwards, through the Wesley brothers. And the greatest promoter of those times for those revivals was none other than Benjamin Franklin. God used Benjamin Franklin incredibly. And what we're excited about with this film is how it ties those two stories together, those two lives together. And what Ben Franklin stands up and does in June 1787, the Constitutional Convention, the words that he says, and we have it in the film, word for word, we didn't omit a single one, his speech needs to be heard again.
Joshua, it's astonishing that our children don't know that speech. I mean, I found myself sitting there mouthing the words a little bit ahead of Benjamin Franklin, not because I'm special, but because when I was in school, those sorts of things were routinely being taught. We really, you know, we get upset if somebody steals our kid's lunch at school, right? Yeah. You took his lunch or messes with his car or whatever. We've stolen the legacy of our own children and grandchildren by not teaching them the shoulders of giants that they sit on that are responsible for the liberty they enjoy that even today most of the world does not enjoy.
And Gary, as a man of God, doesn't it just make you want to square off your shoulders and stand up and be courageous and bold for Christ? It does for me. I have a 15-year-old son, and you know, this film is for him, and it's for my daughters, and it's for their future husbands and my current son-in-law. You know, to put Ben Franklin's speech out there for the nation to hear once again, you know, is collecting dust on many in many schools and colleges, even, you know, perhaps faith-based ones. I don't know.
Some of them.
But to hear the testimony of George Whitefield, you know, our spiritual founding father and arguably the most powerful evangelist that's ever stepped foot on our soil. It's right here. It's a 2-hour and 9-minute film and banner and anthem that you can use as a dad, as a ministry leader, as a mom, as a community leader. It's right there, you know, and we're meant to be the body of Christ and use the arts, use the songs, use the films, the things that are in culture to advance the kingdom of God. And so, every time that scene, I've seen the film several hundred times, obviously. And every time Ben Franklin stands up and he delivers that shot. And can I tell you this, Gary, just a little behind the curtain fun fact. The day that we shot that scene of Ben Franklin's big speech at Independence Hall was Election Day.
Yes. Seriously?
And that was not planned.
Oh, my goodness.
If you would have spun the camera around, we were all wearing our red, white, and blue I voted stickers. And word has it that some of the actors actually went in their costumes and voted.
I'd like to see some film of that. That would be just fantastic.
You can't script those things. And the square footage of the flooring for the Independence Hall that we rebuilt in our shop here in Lancaster was 1,776 square feet, 1776. It's right there on the receipt.
Oh, what a coincidence, right, Joshua?
Last one I'll share with you, the Rising Sun chair. My wife and I bought that a year before we even knew that this film was an idea from a furniture maker who was commissioned by the state of Pennsylvania to build two replica Rising Sun chairs for the bicentennial of the signing of the Constitution in 1987. He lives 1 mile from my house.
And this has God's hands all over Joshua. So as we're, I could talk with you for hours about this, but if we do that, we'll keep people away from the movie, and the movie's much better than even us talking about it. But there's a hymn that was written, I believe, just for the movie. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I found the hymn unbelievably moving. Tell us a little bit about that, because I think this hymn could become, over time, an American classic.
I believe it will be. And it was written by my close British friend, Chad Marriott, who actually moved to America. He married an American missionary, and he's an incredible talent. And he got the script and he saw that the townspeople in Philadelphia sing a hymn after George Whitefield's sermon in Market Street. And he just started to play around with that. And I was up in his office, and on the whiteboard, he had these lyrics to this hymn. And I said, what is that? He said, that's the hymn that I wrote. I said, you actually wrote a hymn? He said, yeah, do you want to hear it? And he started to play it on his piano and sing it. And people started to come into his office and eyes filling up with tears. And he finished. And in his British accent, he asked if we liked it. And we are moved by it.
Yes.
You know, and he is so passionate about this country. He has a dual citizenship. He's so passionate for this country. And he's so passionate with the message of this film. And that hymn, Awaken Us Today, was originally penned by Chad Marriott for this film. And you can go and listen to it on Spotify. You can download it and all the places that you want to hear your music. In fact, the entire album is now available online. It's exciting.
So when we got back from the movie, the first thing I did was put up the computer and went on and brought up that hymn to listen to it again because I wanted to have that same feeling I had when it was, as I recall, it's definitely during the credits, but it's also in that wonderful scene on Market Street in Philadelphia as people are walking to hear him preach. You know, Joshua, it wasn't a surprise to anybody. It wasn't a surprise to God that we were born in America. He knew exactly where we were going to be born. And there's no bigger blessing God could have given any of us when he allowed us to be born here, because there are many places around the world where we could have been born, and the very act of going to church would have been putting your life at risk. The question before us is, are we going to be ingrates and not protect this great gift that we were given by being born here, being a citizen here? Or are we going to show our gratitude by being Christian citizens and boldly going into the public square with our message? If we're not there, we've seen already forces that are very dark take that place of us in the public square. Yeah. And they will decide what kind of liberty or whether our children or grandchildren have any liberty. So you have done, you and Sight and Sound and the Eshelmans, you've done a wonderful, blessed thing by producing this film. And I hope and know that God will bless it and get it to the eyes of, I hope, millions of people. So Joshua, thank you for this creative work. We want to do everything we can to help you at the James Dobson Family Institute to make sure more and more people see it. And if you've got a final brief thing you want to share with our listeners and viewers, feel free to do it. So I'll give you the last word. But again, God bless you and thank you for doing this work.
God bless you, Gary. And thank you for being such dear friends to Sight and Sound over these 50 years that we've been in ministry. Thank you for promoting and supporting our sophomore film called A Great Awakening that's out in theaters right now. And we know we're coming up on the National Day of Prayer. We're coming up on the rededication of our nation on May 17th. Yes. And right here is a movie. Right here is a banner. Right here is an anthem that if you love the Lord and if you love your nation, you can wave that banner and sing this anthem and usher in the Spirit of God in a powerful way so that we can actually experience a similar awakening that will wash over this land and saturate the hearts of men once again. So thank you for everybody who's watching and listening. Tremendous honor to be partnering with all of you and doing this incredibly important work to advance the kingdom of God.
A Great Awakening, folks. Go see it today. God bless you all.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.
From the oceans through the valleys, from the mainland to the shore, let your kingdom be awakened in the hearts of men once more. Call your children into freedom, captive souls to liberty. Come awaken, Holy Spirit, come awaken us today. your kingdom, for your glory.